I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. If you can go ahead and turn to your Bibles to Exodus chapter 8. That's where we're going to be on this morning. And I have a word that I believe is definitely going to encourage you on this morning and just, I don't know, just kind of get you, just stay connected with God and do what he has called you to do. Amen. So if you're at Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1, we're going to start reading this. We're going to be reading out of the NIV Bible. And it reads as such. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country.'" And I don't know about you, but I don't know if you think God is boring or not, but I can't think God is boring to just come up and think, "I'm going to send frogs on my people." Who does that? Okay, frogs, really? So God's not boring, right? Okay, so let's keep reading here. Verse 3 says, "The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed." That makes intimacy pretty interesting, right? "They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and your kneading troughs. The frogs will come up on you and your people and all your officials." This is terrible, right? Like frogs. Just think about it, everywhere. Imagine right now frogs being beside us as we're in church, on your legs, you know, standing right here with me on this little table here, frogs everywhere. Verse 5, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and they covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord.' Moses said to Pharaoh, 'I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile.'" So verse 10, Pharaoh says, "Tomorrow," Pharaoh said. So Moses replied, "It will be as you say, so that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God." Verse 11, "The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people. They will remain only in the Nile." After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord and about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked, and the frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. I know you're so glad you came to church today. You learned about frogs at church on this morning. So I find this story fascinating in Scripture because the children of Israel have been in bondage, in slavery, and in captivity for over 430 years. They had cried out to God, and God had heard the cry. But the thing is, Pharaoh's heart had become hardened, and so the Lord sent a series of plagues to try and soften Pharaoh's heart. And there were a total of about 10 plagues that God had sent out. There was a plague of locusts, a plague of flies, a plague of boils, a plague of gnats, water turned into blood. So there are a total of 10 of them. And again, this plague was about the plague of frogs. So when God sent a plague, it was a legit plague. He didn't play around. I'm going to cover the whole land, not just where you are, but everybody is going to suffer because of what Pharaoh is doing. So everybody's going to be suffers are going to suffer. So there were plagues in the ponds, plagues in the houses, plagues in your bags. Everywhere you look, there were frogs. So imagine you went to the bathroom and there was a frog there. You get under your covers to go to bed, and there's a frog under your covers. You know, you walk in the kitchen, open the refrigerator, and there you go, ribbit. Here are frogs, there are frogs, everywhere a frog. So here's the thing, though. So, you know, this is pretty awesome to me because this is my translation I'm about to give you, all right? So, you know, there's the King James translation, there's the Message translation, there's NIV translation, then there's Conte's translation, all right? So here's my translation. God is able to get rid of these frogs. God is willing to get rid of these frogs. God wants to get rid of these frogs. So Moses asked Pharaoh, when would you like me to pray for these frogs to go away? And the thing about this is the most weirdest thing I think found in Scripture is found right here in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 10. He asks him, when do you want these frogs to go away? Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Okay, I don't know about you, but Pharaoh has the opportunity to get rid of these frogs today. But because he doesn't know the true power of God and all that God is able to do, he's willing to go another day with this plague of frogs in his bed, this plague of frogs in his refrigerator, this plague of frogs everywhere he goes. He was willing to go one more day in this situation when the God that we serve, he said, I'm willing to get rid of the frogs today. I'm able to get rid of the frogs today. I want to get rid of the frogs today, but you are willing to go through it one more day. So my question to you today is, what plague are you willing to go through another day that is on you than when God said, I'm able to free you, I want to free you, I'm willing to free you, so let's get free today, amen? So don't go another day plagued or in bondage or in fear when God says the time is now. So tell your neighbor, the time is now. The time is now. Yes, right now is a time of freedom for everything that has held you captive, that has been tormenting you mentally, physically, financially. Today is the day to be free. Amen. So he said, I want to do it. I'm able to do it, and I am willing to do it. Will you let me do it? Amen? So, but I'm convinced that many of God's people are walking around in bondage when there is no need to be bound. And they answer just as Pharaoh did in this text, I'll get free tomorrow. And you may not say that with your mouth, but your actions say, I'm okay the way it is, because you won't do what needs to be done to make the change. So, okay, we know, again, we have a God that is able to make everything change just like that. But are we willing to make the adjustments ourselves for us to receive that right now blessing? Amen? So, I have a picture. In 2008, Nike ran an advertisement that said, yesterday you said tomorrow. So, they had this ad, again, in 2008, yesterday you said tomorrow. And this ad was basically telling athletes that you're not going to be playing football if you don't train today. This ad was saying you're not going to graduate from college if you don't start studying today. This ad was saying that you're not going to lose the weight you want to lose if you don't start today. Yesterday you said tomorrow. And we're in today, which is yesterday's tomorrow. Think about it. We're in today, which was yesterday's tomorrow, but you haven't done anything yet because you're still waiting on tomorrow. Because you're still waiting on tomorrow, we haven't moved forward. But today is the day of salvation, amen? And today is the day of deliverance. And today, the day of freedom, and today is a day of healing. Most people exist in today, but live in yesterday, and they never step into the tomorrow that God has for them because they refuse to do something today. I'll say that again. Most people exist, we live right now in today, but we live in yesterday, and they never step into the tomorrow that God has for them because they refuse to do something today. So God has a tomorrow for you. But again, we have to do something today to get to tomorrow. Because what happens is we just keep letting time just go away because, well, you know, I really don't want to be uncomfortable. I think I'm really ready. God, I know what you have for me, but, you know, I don't know if I'm really ready to get to do what it takes to make it happen. But we will never really experience what God has for us if we don't ever take the step to move forward. Amen? And I was thinking about this. Next week, in a few days, I will be 41 years old. 41 years old. Please send presents, cash at me, I will receive. I'm playing. But I will be 41 years old in just a few days. Also in a few days, I'll be pastoring for 11 years because the church's anniversary is August 7th. So on August 7th, the church will be 11 years old. A great accomplishment. God has done some amazing things in almost 11 years. But one of the things that I've noticed along these 11-year journey of pastoring is that why is it that some people walk in their destinies of what God has for them? Some people walk in their freedom and others don't. Why is it that some people, they move forward, they see the manifestation of their faith, and some don't? Is it that God has favorites? Absolutely not. Great answer. No, he does not have favorites. You guys are so right. It's like we all sit under the same teaching. We all have the same Bible. We've all been saved by the same Jesus Christ. So why did it some people seem to have, like, God has just been blessing and blessing and blessing, and others seem like, okay, I'm still waiting. What is the difference, you say? Well, I would say that one of the biggest differences is because they applied their faith. They heard the word of God, and not only were they hearers, but they were doers of the word of God. They released faith, and faith, whenever we do things in faith, God, it pleases God, and then there's therefore going to be manifestations, amen? So we're going to go today, in just a moment, to Proverbs 20:71. That was just my, like, introduction, okay? So we see here that they apply the principles of faith. And it's time for us all to live in a state of expectation that today is the day that everything I've been praying for or releasing my faith for is about to manifest in my life. So again, the lesson for today is the time is now. And I'm convinced that we all want God's best. We all want to please God, but sometimes we allow ourselves to be crippled by thinking that we have tomorrow. We're crippled by thinking, well, I can just do it tomorrow. It's okay, I'll wait till tomorrow. But we don't always have tomorrow, all right? Let's read Proverbs 27:1. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. And as I told you before, just a few moments ago, about my story of how I thought I was going to be home on Friday at 4 o'clock. I just knew I was going to be pulling up in my driveway at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. I pulled up in my driveway yesterday at 5 o'clock afternoon. You're talking about 25 hours later. Because I just knew, oh, I could do it tomorrow. I'll be home Friday. I'll just go pick up the dog at 1 o'clock, was what I thought, you know. Take my hair out Friday night is what I thought. It didn't happen that way. But because, again, we think, okay, we have tomorrow. But don't keep setting things aside because you think, I could do it later. I have tomorrow. No, God's saying today, the time is now. Go ahead and make some things happen now. I mean, if you think about it, there are things I know that you want to make happen. But let's not keep putting it off and procrastinating when we could do it right now. Okay, so there are three keys that I want to talk about today. Three keys to experiencing victory today. Okay? Three keys to experiencing victory today. The first key we're going to talk about is don't put off until tomorrow what you know God is asking of you today. All right, don't put off what you know God is asking of you today. Don't put it off until tomorrow what you know he's asking of you today. And one of the things that I want to talk about under this point is procrastination. My. Procrastination. Now, this is a hit home one for me because I don't consider myself a procrastinator because I feel that I work my best when I'm under pressure. Okay? I'm not stressed out, but when I know that there's a deadline, I can make it happen. I feel like creativity juices start flowing because to me, if I have 6 days, all right, we'll see. That's just me, okay? And I had to really look this thing up because I was thinking that there was something wrong with being a procrastinator, but there's nothing wrong with a procrastinator when you are prioritizing, Okay, when you have a list, you have to prioritize because this may need to be done first. Okay, so now that I know that I have this schedule, this or this to-do list, I'm going to do what has to be done first, and then I will get to what is needed on the deadline, because deadlines are my friend. Let me know what's the latest I have to have it done. You're going to have it. Because if I know I got, like, this 2 weeks, I'm going to wait to probably 2 days before. But again, because I know then that I have to make it happen, so my creativity juices are going to be flowing then. That's just how I operate. But the problem with procrastinators who are true procrastinators, see, I excuse myself because I don't think I'm a procrastinator. I'm playing. But the problem is with procrastinators is sometimes that they aren't good stewards of time. You don't manage your time well when you don't, again, have that to-do list, when you don't prioritize. Because what happens is if you're one of those people who are procrastinators and you just sit there and do nothing until the deadline, then that's when there's an issue with procrastination. Again, because, again, it's not that you're not doing something until that deadline, but if you're just sitting there just twiddling your thumbs away because I only have like one thing to do, so I'll just do it then. No, if you have a list, you're going to still be working towards that to-do list, but again, you're not just sitting there just, you know, letting the time roll away. Does that make sense? So the thing is, we all have the same amount of time in a day. One day has 24 hours, and there are 60 minutes in an hour, and there are 60 seconds in 1 minute, and there are 86,400 seconds in one day. So we all have been given the same 86,400 seconds in a day. The question is, what are we doing with those 86,400 seconds in a day? So this is not the Conte translation, all right? I'm going to give you in just a moment. I'm going to give you the Message Bible translation. That way you can really believe it. Okay, because it's written in print. Even though I know it's another translator's version, but it's been printed in the Bible, all right? So let's read Proverbs. First, let's read Proverbs 6 and 6 through the NIV. I'm sorry, Tanya. Proverbs 6 and 6 in the NIV version first. Let's read that. We're going to talk about the difference between being a procrastinator and someone who's just lazy, okay? The person who's just sitting there doing nothing when there is something to do. How many know that we all have something that we could be doing, right? We all have something that we could be doing. It could be witnessing to someone in Walmart. It could be on our job, just, again, showing love, giving hugs. Being number one, if you're on your job, you should be working. That's the first thing, okay? So on our break on our jobs, we could be witnessing and giving hugs, those kind of things, right? Okay, so let's read Proverbs 6 and 6, the difference between someone who is a procrastinator and someone who is just lazy, okay? Go to the ant, you sluggard. See, he called you a sluggard. I didn't call you a sluggard, okay? Consider its ways and be wise. Verse 7 says, it has no commander, no overseer or ruler. So there is nobody watching this ant at all, okay? It's not someone that's being micromanaged. This is an ant who is out on his own doing his job, handling his business. Verse 8, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Now let's read it in the Message translation. It's going to bring just a little bit more clarity. I read this morning. I just started laughing as I read it. It says, you lazy fool, will you look at an ant? Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer, it stores up food. At harvest, it stockpiles provisions. So how long are you going to laze around and do nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, everywhere, a nap. I'm playing. Okay. A day off here, a day off there. What else does it say? Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life. Poverty is going to be your permanent house guest. So when you are not getting busy about what God is asking you to do right now, and you're just sitting around taking nap after nap after nap, you know, wasting time, it says poverty is going to be a permanent house guest. Because you can't, because you are not doing anything with your hands or your time because you're just, well, I got nothing to do. You have something to do. We all have something that we could be doing right now instead of putting off until tomorrow. So we don't want to be lazy, amen? We don't want to be sluggard, amen? Because it tells us that if we are to be busy and if we are to do what God has called us to do right now, again, we're talking about don't put off what we know God is asking of us today. We know God is asking of us, number one, to live right, to live holy, to show love to other people. There are benefits when we do things that are pleasing to God, amen? So we can't put off what we know God is requiring of us today. So if you know you're doing something that is not right, you need to cut it off today. You can't put that off till tomorrow. You know. Well, I know he's not my husband, but I love him, and he's married. So I'm gonna cut it off, but I'm gonna do it tomorrow. No, we're not gonna cut that off tomorrow. We're gonna cut that off today. You know, I know I'm walking in unforgiveness, but they made me so mad I can't seem to just forgive them for what they did. No, we're not going to keep walking around in unforgiveness and wait till tomorrow to forgive. We're going to start forgiving today. Why put off until tomorrow what God is requiring of us today? God is requiring us to have love in our hearts for everybody, amen? To do things upright and holy, amen? Because again, there's blessings for this. Let me show you this in Proverbs 18 and 24. Therefore has the Lord recompensed, meaning, or also has he also compensated me according to my righteousness. Proverbs 18 and 24. And the Amplified, therefore has the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, my uprightness and right standing with him according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. So he said, here, because your hands are clean, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to pay you a blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. I'm going to set you up on high for that you could be an example of my goodness in the earth because you're doing things the right way. So let's not put off until tomorrow what we could be doing today and getting things right. How many know that the best decision you can make today is accept Christ into your heart? You don't want to wait until tomorrow to say, you know, I'm having so much fun right now. I'm going to just wait till tomorrow. No, today is a day of salvation. Today is the day to receive Christ into your life because he will make life much funner for you if you accept Christ into your life. I made up my own word. Did y'all hear my new word, funner? Yes. He will make life fun for you. And the thing is, you don't have to look over your shoulders anymore, wake up sick anymore, because Jesus is on the inside of your heart. So that's the best decision you can make today is accept Christ into your life. Amen? So that was the first point into experiencing victory today is don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today, what God is requiring of you. Amen? And the second point we're going to talk about is walk in daily expectation. You should every day wake up saying, God, this is the day I know you're going to bless me. I'm in great expectation for a move of God in our lives. You know, God has been doing some amazing things the past 10 years, but the wonderful thing is he's not done, and we've only seen a trinket of what he wants to do in our lives. But the thing is, we must remain consistent and in expectation every day. Don't think that he's just a one wonder God. No, he doesn't just do miracles one time. Oh, I've already blessed you. Get out of the way. No, he doesn't operate like that. I'm going to keep blessing you and blessing you and blessing you as long as you keep doing things my way. Pastor always tells us that if we do things God's way, we're going to get God results. Amen? So the more we keep doing things God's way, he's going to keep continuously blessing us. So every day you should wake up with a day of expectation. Every day, I set my foot on the floor. You know what, God? Today is the day you're going to bless Conte real good. Real good. I expect that to happen. And I told you the last time, don't walk around not talking about, oh, I didn't expect that. No, I expect things to happen for me because when I do things God's way, he's going to bless me. So this unexpected blessing, no, I expected this blessing because I called it forth. Amen? I called it forth, so it has to happen for me. So every day should be a day that you are walking in expectation for God's best to show up in your life. And you must base your life on the truth of God's word and not the facts of your circumstance. You must base your life on the truth of God's word and not the facts of your circumstance. Because facts change what? Every day. Facts are not the truth, but God's word is true. So I'm going to stand on his word. So it doesn't matter what the devil tried to throw my way. I'm not going to be moved by what I see with my natural eyes because I know that in the end, what I really see is in the what I cannot see is in the supernatural realm. And that's what I operate out of. I operate out of the supernatural realm, and I cannot see everything through my natural eyes. But I know what God is on behind the scenes working on my behalf to make things happen for me. Because why? I'm in expectation because I'm believing that it's going to happen for me. And last but not least, my third point for experiencing victory today is have faith in the God that you serve. You have got to have confidence in the God that you serve. Just like he's blessed you before, guess what? He's going to bless you again. And again, I just said it a moment ago. Yeah, he's been doing some great things, but that's just a trinket. That's a small thing of what he wants to do for us. And we're like, God, you did it. And we're grateful, and we should be grateful. God knows we should, but guess what? God's saying, yeah, that's how I feel about you, but guess what? I'm not done. I'm just showing you just here and there how I feel about you, but I'm not done with you yet because there are so many things that I have for you. So there are people that are believing for jobs, and you haven't gotten that job yet. Don't give up. You stay in faith. So you know what, God? You're just getting ready for me. You're getting the right one ready for me. So don't give up because it has not manifested yet in the natural. He's just getting it ready. So I'm in expectation that the job that I've been believing for is going to happen for me. Amen? So Pharaoh didn't know the real power of God. He didn't have a clear understanding that God had the capability to stop the plague right there on the spot. But because you know who you serve, he has the capability to stop everything that is hindering you just like that. That's the kind of God that you serve. Let me show you in Isaiah 43 and 18 and verse 19. 43, 18, and 19. Again, he's been doing some great things, but he's not done. And it says, Isaiah 43 and 18 and 19, I'll read it. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So he says, forget about what has happened before. Because, again, I'm doing something new in your life. Yes, I have been blessing you, but guess what? I'm going to keep blessing you. And the blessing that I have done before, it's going to not even compare because I have some greater things planned for your life. But what happens sometimes is we go through these things of what has happened, and we begin to make monuments out of our past. But we cannot build a monument of the past and keep looking back at it. We got to realize that God is doing some new things ahead of me, and I can only experience them if I keep moving forward. I've got to keep moving forward knowing that right now God is doing some new things so that my faith is big enough to receive it all. But the thing is, we have to have our faith in conjunction with his word and say, God, I'm not giving up because I know that today is a day that you're going to bless me. So right now is a day of salvation. Right now is a day of freedom. And right now is a day of deliverance. Amen? So right now he said, I'm doing a new thing. So have faith that he is big enough to stop those things that may be causing you to stay up at night, step to worry, to wonder if it's really going to work out. But no, he said, I'm big enough to handle it. And one thing you have to realize, too, is that God specializes in the impossible. What's impossible with man? God says, you know what? That's nothing for me. Because I'm bigger than that situation. So give him something hard. To you it's hard, but to him it's nothing. You know, to us we figure, okay, God, I have this bill that's $2,000 and I don't know where I'm getting the money from. So to us that could seem like a big deal. But God said, $2,000? I could break you off a piece of that like right now because my streets are made with gold. Is that all you need is $2,000? But the thing is we have to give it to him in faith because he says, I am big enough, but do you believe he's big enough? Amen? So you must remember again that nothing is bigger than our God. Nothing is too hard for our God. He uses those opportunities to really show us who he really is. So have confidence in the God that you serve. So again, today is a day of victory. Today is a day of deliverance. Today is a day of healing. Today is a day that I move forward to do what God has called me to do. Amen. Have you been blessed on this morning? I mean, we're going to Lord and grab a hand clap and praise all over the building. Today is the day. And the time is now. So no longer are we going to go around saying that I have tomorrow. No longer are we going to go around saying that, you know what, I got time. No, today is the day to make the decision. Because so many times it's easy for us to just think that, you know, it's no big deal. You know, it's not important. But if God has placed something on your heart, it is important. And if God has placed an agenda on your life and something for you to do, it is important. So we cannot keep thinking that, when it's time, he'll manifest it. No, he's waiting on you to manifest it. Because so many times things are not happening because we're not moving forward in what God has called us to do because we think we have tomorrow. But no longer are we waiting until tomorrow. We're going to start acting today. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. I'm out of time on this morning. Let's